the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. I'm size still the precious and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold. But not for $1 million will I sell my soul.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
Yo, what's going on? What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast. I appreciate you clicking that link. I appreciate you clicking that play button. Now go ahead and click that subscribe button. Click that like button. Give me a share. Share it all over the web to your friends, to your mom, to your pop. You already know. Just 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast. Family friendly. You know what I mean? We get to the business, we get to the real, we get to the news, we get to the entertainment, the sports entertainment. You know how it goes, you know what it is, you know how we do. So today, as you can tell, I got a lot of energy in my voice. I feel real good today. Today is probably gonna, I dub it here today. This is episode 14 of the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast, and it might just be my favorite episode of all time. It is going to be hard to eclipse this episode. This is a special episode. I love this episode. I am so happy and so excited to even be doing this episode. It just came to me, like literally came to me like 5 minutes ago before I pressed play. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. Man, I'm not even going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to front. We're going to go to an ad before I say anything. This is the biggest episode, I think, to me, the D to the 3&D. The 3 isn't here. It's just me, your boy, D-I-G. And I'm going to let you know, this is the favorite podcast of mine. This is my favorite episode that we've done. This is my favorite episode that we are going to do. And I'm going to try to stretch it as long as I possibly can, because trust me, I got a lot to say about this. So, you know, we are going to go to an ad, because as I tell you guys every single day, my sponsors love to talk to you guys. I love to have my sponsors talk to you guys, and you guys love to buy from our sponsors. So it's a perfect partnership. When we come back from this here ad break, we will get into the topic of this episode, episode 14, 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast. I will talk to you guys in a second.
She said, what you do, amazing, so amazing. Told me everything amazing. Hey, I love you, you amazing. Boy, you look so amazing. You must be amazing. You must be amazing. You must be amazing.
3&D Signs in Sports Podcast presents new mini-series featuring your host, Jackie Lynn. Featuring your host, Jackie Lynn. Featuring your host, Jackie Lynn. New platform coming. Mini-series segment platform coming to the 3&D Signs and Sport Podcast.
On the way, coming soon, loading.
On the way, coming soon, loading. New mini-series segment platform with your host, Jackie Lynn, coming to the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast.
Very soon.
All right, guys, I will keep you waiting no longer. The topic, the headline, the spotlight of this episode, the 14th episode of 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast, my current favorite, my future favorite, my favorite episode we have done here on the podcast, and probably going to be my favorite episode of all time. And keep in mind, we've done a Dallas Cowboys episode, we've done a Kanye West episode, we've done a fantasy football episode, and we've done a fantasy football episode that I won the championship in my league, and I talked about it right here on the podcast. Still not my favorite podcast of all time. This is my favorite podcast of all time. This is my favorite podcast episode of all time, right here. Episode 14 of the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast. We will be talking today about the GOAT, the greatest female wrestler of all time, the greatest female in-ring performer of all time, the one of the biggest superstars in the WWE right now, and still has yet to even scratch the surface. Today on the 14th episode of 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, we are going to be talking about Miss Mercedes Justine Kastner-Varnado. We will be talking about Sasha Banks. This is officially the 14th episode of the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, and this is the Sasha Banks episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Guys, this is, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I want to stop talking, but I can't stop talking. I'm so excited. What do y'all want to talk about? Let's talk about where she's been, where she's wrestled. Currently working in the WWE, as we all know, fighting on SmackDown. The blueprint, the blue hair, the blue brand, you know what I mean? It's just, that's her show. That's her show. Friday night is boss time. Sasha Banks started her career with independent wrestling units such as Chaotic Wrestling. Man, I wish I could have been following Sasha Banks way back then. That would have been crazy. But hey, one new one that I have been following a little bit, like here and there, seeing that she's making waves in the indie scene, is Jasmine Allure. So shout out to Jasmine Allure. That'll be interesting. I'm not sure who exactly she fights with, but it is a name I have been seeing. So, you know, usually when you're making waves, you're doing something right. So shout out to Jasmine Allure. But back to Sasha Banks, the GOAT, the only women's wrestler that matters, other than like Britt Baker, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Thunder Rosa, the Bunny. I'm just kidding. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. So started with Chaotic Wrestling, New England Championship Wrestling, National Wrestling Alliance, which is the NWA. She joined the World Wrestling Entertainment in 2012 and was assigned to NXT, where she won the NXT Women's Championship in a fatal four-way where she pinned Charlotte Flair, and in the match also involved Becky Lynch and Bayley. So the four horsewomen, which is Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Bayley. In 2012, when they were brought into the NXT, when Sasha Banks was brought into NXT, she won the NXT Women's Championship by pinning Charlotte Flair in a fatal four-way. She's had six championship reigns that include the NXT Women's Championship once, a record-tying four-time Raw Women's Champion, and the inaugural WWE Women's Tag Team Champion with Bayley. Bayley and Sasha Banks were the first Women's Tag Team Champions ever, and this was only like 4 years ago. So I love where the women are now in wrestling. I'm a fan of both eras. I don't have a favorite, you know what I mean? Both of them are awesome. Attitude Era was dope. Now it's crazy, like, you know, I like it. So Sasha Banks also competed with Charlotte Flair as the first women to ever headline a WWE pay-per-view event, and the first ever women to compete in a Hell in a Cell match. So that's dope. That's cool. She's come a long way too. She came from the dark auburn hair to the pink hair to the purple hair to the blue hair. Now she's got blue and like a little bit of green, blue and a little bit of like baby blue. Like, I don't know. She's just on fire right now. Y'all know what it is. But early life, let's see, Mercedes Sasha Banks was born on January 26th, 1992 in Fairfield, California. She's a Cali girl, understandable, makes sense. She has that personality, you know what I mean? Like, she's real, you know what I mean? Like, she's really the boss, you know what I mean? And you can tell she's had that, like, it's not really a gimmick like that. That's how she feels inside. You know what I mean? She's sensitive and everything, but you can tell that's how she feels inside. So, traveled a lot in her childhood. It says here, had a brother with autism. Shout out. If I'm not mistaken, I've heard on a couple documentaries, biographies about Sasha Banks, that she took care of her brother a lot of the time, gave up a lot of her a lot of her childhood to take care of her brother. And, you know, shout out to that. Family is important. Family is everything. So shout out to her for that. That is actually like a not well-known fact that I often see about Sasha Banks. Well, I guess it kind of is, but, you know, if you're a Sasha Banks follower, if you're not, that's something that should make you want to root for her as a person. You know what I mean? You're supposed to boo the character, but root for her as a person. So, yeah, she developed her interest in wrestling from a young age and grew up watching All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling. So AJW, which is, you know, a Japan wrestling promotion. So that's cool. Sasha Banks belongs to a very popular family in which rapper Snoop Dogg is her first cousin. She is also first cousin of music producer Daz Dillinger and singers Brandy Norwood and Ray J. I didn't know about Daz or Ray J, but that's cool. Everybody knew about Snoop Dogg for sure. I mean, WrestleMania was lit. Sasha Banks married WWE costume designer and retired professional wrestler Sarath Tan, also known as Kid Mikazi. This was in 2016, so 6 years ago. That breaks my heart, but she began her wrestling career in 2010. With her training at Chaotic Wrestling and stayed till 2012, defeated Alexis in an I Quit match to win the Chaotic Women's Championship. After successfully defending, she became the longest reigning Chaotic Wrestling Women's Champion in history by breaking Alexis's previous record of 182 days. She was also part of several other wrestling promotions that include New England Championship Wrestling, National Wrestling Alliance, and many more. Sasha Banks signed a contract with WWE in 2012. Her first feud started with Audrey Marie. Don't even know who that is. I've never heard of that name before. Started receiving letters from a secret admirer who was revealed to be Audrey. The feud came to an end after Sasha Banks teamed up with Paige and defeated Marie along Summer Rae. Banks debuted a new gimmick as the Boss. So that's crazy. She's had that Boss gimmick since 2012, a decade now. Like, those are the type of wrestlers that withstand the test of time. Somebody who always has their, somebody who keeps the same character through every situation. And I've heard a lot of wrestlers say that too. Like, on different podcasts that I listen to, they say you don't break through until you realize that all you have to do is remain the same dude through every situation. You don't have to change gimmick after gimmick after gimmick after gimmick. You have to find the gimmick that is you and then run with it after that. So any aspiring amateur wrestlers, any aspiring professional wrestlers listening, take with that what you will. You know, I heard it on Stone Cold's podcast from multiple wrestlers, multiple veterans, you know what I mean? So, shout out to Sasha Banks for that. But in 2015, she defeated Charlotte Flair in a fatal four-way. We talked about this earlier where all four horsewomen were involved in this match, and Sasha Banks came out on top. She went on to form an alliance with Naomi and Tamina and formed Team Bad. Her first triple threat match was against Charlotte and Brie Bella, in which Sasha suffered defeat. She faced many opponents later, such as Brie Bella, Alicia Fox, and Becky Lynch. In 2016, she won the Raw Women's Championship by defeating Charlotte Flair in a false count anywhere match. From 16 to 17, Banks became a four-time Women's Champion, Raw Women's Champion. In 2019, Banks teamed up with Bayley and won the inaugural WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. She is currently in an alliance with... This is actually wrong. This is an old, this is old because it says she's in an alliance with Bayley, but she was in a tag team with Bayley where they were the Golden Role Models and they carried the brand through the entire pandemic. They were one of the mainstays of both brands, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. So definitely did a lot in that era, you know what I mean? So, she is What the heck? Physical measurements, height 165 centimeters, weight 114 pounds at the time of this recording, eye color black, hair color blue. Eye color black, probably dark brown if anything, but 27 years old as of this, so I think she's probably about 28, 29. Favorite wrestler, Eddie Guerrero and Trish Stratus. Favorite actor, Brad Pitt. Favorite actress, Angelina Jolie. Hobbies, wrestling, gymming, partying, and traveling. Favorite food, oats and fast food. Dream holiday destination, Spain. I like that. Favorite color, black and pink. Her net worth is estimated $3 million. We all know that she attempted to quit the WWE after WrestleMania 35. After the WWE decided at the last minute to put the women's tag team titles on the Iconics. Everybody remembers she stepped away from WWE. Not a lot of people knew what was going on, but you know, Sasha Banks is somebody that I ran into in about 2018, maybe. My ex-girlfriend got me into watching the WWE again, and Sasha Banks was one of the ones that I was like, I can watch this, you know what I mean? I could watch this for her, like, see what's up, you know, see what's popping with her, see what storyline she gets into, how she develops, whatever. That's what got me back into the WWE eventually. Started seeing other people that I was like, okay, these are cool too. Bayley's pretty cool. Becky Lynch is dope. You know what I mean? And everything kind of like slowly, gradually. Now I watch it in a different way. You know, I watch it to see the characters develop. I like to watch it to see the storylines and how they play out. Sometimes they don't always play out. Sometimes they do. But I still watch it like a movie, like a historias. You know what I mean? When my grandma was, when she used to babysit us and stuff like that, she used to watch her historias every so often. It was Days of Our Lives. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that show. Awesome show. It was a dope show back then, you know. I would watch it with my grandma. So, but yeah, the WWE is like the historias, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you're watching organized chaos every single week for like 3 days a week. And now with AEW, it's you know, five wrestling events in 5 days. Like, it's dope. So I can't get enough wrestling. I enjoy it. I love it. But Sasha Banks is an underappreciated wrestler. I think she may still not even be in her prime yet. Like, and that's crazy because she's accomplished a lot, but I don't even think they've begun to scratch the surface of what Mercedes Vernado can end up doing. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to see it. I want to keep watching it. Guys, I don't know what we're going into next. Honestly, I'm just rambling here. I'm just talking because, like I said, I could just talk about it all day. I could talk about anything that, you know what I mean? But we basically already went over everything. Like, we basically went over everything. We talked about everything. It's a short career. I mean, what she debuted, it's been a decade. You know what I mean? It's been a decade. We covered the fact that she was involved in, you know, the first women's Hell in a Cell. The first main event at a pay-per-view. She was involved in False Count Anywheres, TLC, ladder matches, like Elimination Chambers 2. Money in the, I don't know if she's ever done a Money in the Bank. She needs to do a Money in the Bank if she's never done a Money in the Bank, but yeah, so if anything, I'm going to take this into a break. That way I can organize and orchestrate the next segment of this podcast. Because guys, we do this thing on the go. This is all off top. This is other than the reference article that I have, which I just kind of, you know, read through a little bit. And I just kind of look at it and just go off the top. Shout out to sportscrazy.com for everything that she, you know, everything that website offered us about our champion, Sasha Banks. I'm going to take this into an ad. Like I said, I will come back to you guys with more information and some audio clips. We're going to run through a couple of promos from Sasha Banks. You know, we're going to run through a couple promos. If anything, I'll read off like top 10 matches, top 5 matches, something like that, and we'll keep this thing going. We'll keep it going for another 20-25 minutes because I love Sasha Banks. This is the biggest show that we've done to date of the 3ND Signs and Sports podcast. I'm getting a little tired, I'm not going to lie. Maybe I might have to cut the recording a little short for today and hop back on this tomorrow, because I am getting a little tired, but we will see what happens. During the break here, I will get a little pick-me-up and just see, you know, see if we can keep it moving, because Sasha Banks, the blueprint, the standard, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. So, hey, I'm going to take this into a break. I will talk to you guys on the other end. What are you doing this Saturday night? What are you doing this Friday night? Matter of fact, what are you doing Thursday night for ladies' night? Heathens Haven in Premont, Texas, owned and ran by producer of True Records artists D.I.G., J.B., Rilo, Tone G, and A2J, Chach with the Heat, a bar established in 2021 in Premont, Texas. Heathens Haven open today, where the heathens come to play. Come and check out the newest, hottest, craziest attraction, where there is live performances every other month, where there is UFC fights being streamed, there is WWE SummerSlams, there is pool. Come and have a beer, come and have a drink, come and have a laugh with everybody at Heathens Haven. Let's go. Okay, guys, what's going on? I figured out what we're going to do. We are going to go over the top 10 Sasha Banks matches in the WWE. This article is written by What Culture on whatculture.com by Logan Kenny. This article was written September of 2020, so we are almost 2 years after this. But it is what it is, and we're going to read off the top 10 list, and let's check out what Culture thinks is Sasha Banks' top 10 matches of all time. I will read a little bit of their opinion on the match, but I'll try to stay away from it for the most part. I just really kind of want to give you guys the list, you know what I mean? So, number 10 being Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch in a Hell in a Cell in 2019. It does say here on this article that they believe Sasha winning that match would have made the match even higher on the list because she was coming off of a good heel run where she was gaining momentum, but the match suffered in their opinion because she didn't come away with the championship. However, Sasha Banks put her body on the line, delivering meteoras and bumps. In the article, it says as if it were her last match ever. But Sasha's always a beast in the cell, you know what I mean? Like, at least every Elimination Chamber, every Hell in a Cell match that I've seen Sasha Banks in, she's a beast, dog. Like, she goes crazy. So, I don't disagree. I think a cell match maybe should have been a little higher on the list, but let's see what they got at number 9. Let's keep it moving. It is Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss, Great Balls of Fire, 2017. Okay, this was before I jumped back into the WWE. This was about a year before. So I haven't really gotten to see Alexa Bliss in full display. I've only seen the Fiend character. I only saw when she was injured and she was doing Moment of Bliss. So I missed her title runs. I missed all of that. I only started watching again in 2018. So it's only been 4 going on 5 years for me again. But perhaps the most underrated match of the boss's career, Sasha put on a miraculous performance with recent Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss, helping genuinely establish Alexa as a worthwhile wrestler on the main roster with her exceptional wrestling and storytelling abilities. This might not be the most notable match. It has largely been forgotten. Yeah, because I don't even know what Great Balls of Fire is, to be honest. But it's worth mentioning as a testament to show just how talented Sasha is. And that's what I've heard, is that for everything that Sasha Banks is not in the ring or on the mic, she is as a ring general. Like, I hear she's been compared in that WrestleMania main event with Bianca Belair, they compared her to Tom Brady being in there, like, because she made Bianca Belair look like a 10-year veteran in on the main roster. You know what I mean? And that's a credit in large part to the people, to the person that you're in the ring with. Do they want you to look over or do they want you to look flat? You know what I mean? So shout out to Sasha Banks for that. And moving on to number 8 on the list, this is Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair. And surprise, surprise, in another Hell in a Cell match. This was back in 2016. This was pink-haired Sasha. And this was actually, again, this was when she was champion. This was when I didn't get to catch it. So I've missed a lot of her actual championship runs. But I know she has a reputation of, like, you can get a championship, but you can't hold on to it. So I'm curious to see where that goes. You know what I mean? Because, again, she's got to be only 30, 31, 32 at this point, you know? So I'm going to read you guys off what they say about it. Unfortunately, this has the same problem as the Hell in a Cell match with Becky. Sasha should have walked away with the championship and didn't. Instead, losing the belt back to Charlotte for the second time. However, while the Becky match was more athletically impressive, Charlotte and Sasha put on a much more compelling narrative in the boss's hometown. The decision for Charlotte to almost take Sasha out of the equation entirely with the pre-match assault was genius, with the stretcher sequence transfixing the Boston crowd who just wanted their hometown hero to defeat the villainous Charlotte Flair. Despite Sasha's loss, the two put on a masterful fight inside the cell, more than earning the distinction of the first ever women's pay-per-view main event, which is, I mean, WWE's insistence on punishing babyfaces in their hometown, mixed with their push for Flair sadly led to the wrong booking decision, as Banks was never more over than she was here, and a victory could have cemented her as a babyface superstar for the company. So it's, I mean, Sasha Banks is always back and forth with the whole babyface heel thing. I mean, I think she's good at both. She's great at both. She can pull both. It's just, you got to make a decision. You know what I mean? You got to make a decision and you got to go with it. Like, is she going to be a babyface or is she going to be a heel? Don't get me wrong. I'm all for, like, the tweener thing that they got going on right now with Roman, with Brock, with Becky, with Sasha, when Bayley comes back. Like, there's a lot of people who are in between, you know what I mean? A lot of people who are over but are hated, or are hated but are over, you know what I mean? So let's keep it moving. Number 7 on the list, Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch, NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. Another one that I didn't see, but man, seeing all these pictures that go along with the, like with the list, really makes me regret not watching that whole, like, Four Horsewomen evolution, you know what I mean? I just missed it. When CM Punk had that, like, when he left, I just stopped watching wrestling, and I didn't come back 4 years later. But the best of the matches that Lynch and Banks have had together, this was Becky's best singles match in NXT and firmly established her as a babyface. This is one of the most beautifully wrestled championship matches from this era of NXT. The two displayed their technical expertise here, with the desperation for either woman to win by submission being ridiculously intense. Like most great title matches, there was a sense of unpredictability from the outcome, with the potential of a Becky victory seeming as likely as Sasha holding the belt going forward. So those are always the best matches, the ones that you don't know what's going to happen, could go any way. Kind of how I feel about the Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar fight at WrestleMania, you know what I mean? But we'll see what happens there as well. Number 6 on the list, Sasha Banks versus Asuka. This was on a Raw, the 25th of January in 2018. So I might have caught this one already, but I might not have, because this one might have been right before I jumped in. So let me read what it says on the article and maybe it'll come to me. Sasha Banks and Asuka have supernatural chemistry with each other, proving that recently in their 2020 series for the Raw Women's title. While their SummerSlam match was fantastic and close to making the cut, their original match on Raw has the perfect adrenaline and urgency, which creates instantaneous classics. That is a great matchup, though. Sasha Banks versus Asuka. I don't understand. I mean, I think Sasha Banks should be the biggest female superstar in the company right now, but you know? I'm sure her time will come. Sasha Banks has always been the kind of wrestler who gets motivated by almost dying, and the incredible spot where she gets kicked in the head during a suicide dive and plummets neck first to the ground sparked a fire in her. It remains one of the most perfectly executed and downright disgusting spots WWE has done in years. The remaining few minutes are one of the best matches on Raw in the entire 2010s. With every move feeling urgent and the crowd fully behind Sasha to end the popular Asuka's undefeated streak, it was proof fans needed that Sasha still had what it took to be a legitimate main eventer, even after a disappointing 2017. Creating a match on free television that stuck around in the zeitgeist for over 2.5 years, a perfect example of how one spot can propel a match into greatness. So I don't remember it. I don't remember it. I don't recall this one though. Number 5 on the list, Sasha Banks versus Io Shirai at NXT The Great American Bash. How could I not? She was already blue-haired Sasha here. She was already the blueprint. She was already the man. How could I not? Her gear at this remains my favorite gear of all time. If you know, you know. If you don't, go to YouTube, look up Sasha Banks NXT Great American Bash. It'll come out. My favorite gear of all time. The most recent match on the list, Sasha and Io, non-title showdown, NXT Great American Bash, lived up to the hype of what they could deliver together. Banks has unfortunately been paired with a lot of the same opponents for the majority of her career, so getting the opportunity for a 15-minute singles match with a new opponent who happens to be the best wrestler in NXT was mouthwatering for fans. The two women's impeccable yet merciless styles click together perfectly. They chain moves together with trademark elegance before stomping the hell out of each other. Banks in particularly sold like crazy, folding her body up whenever taking one of Io's devastating moves. At times, the match was more reminiscent of a Stardom main event than a traditional WWE one. Okay, I don't know what Stardom is, but the finish was perfect, giving the storylines heading in, keeping both women looking strong while providing a satisfying conclusion to the narrative being told. Hopefully, they get plenty of chances to run it back, given the excellence they delivered on their first time around. With a long-term narrative and more work together, the possibilities could be endless. I liked it. I remember that match. I did see that match. I watched it. It was a good match. It was an awesome match. I think it deserves to be top 5. The gear alone makes it a top 5, you know what I mean? And Io Shirai, shout out to Io Shirai. She's one of the best wrestlers in the business today. And that's just wrestlers. Like, that's just pure passion and love for the sport, you know what I mean? She's one of the best. I mean, and she's not the worst on the mic. Like, it's always hard for somebody with the language barrier to crack into the market, like, with casual fans like myself. But I like Io's style, and she's kind of, like, mysterious, you know what I mean? And she doesn't really speak excellent English, but her English is excellent in the sense that it works, you know what I mean? So shout out to Io, shout out Sasha. Let's move it on. We're going to number 4 on the list, and that is Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 32. This was the match that cemented the end of the Divas era in WWE, the best match of WrestleMania 32 by a mile, and the best women's match in the history of the flagship event. Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky put on a scintillating triple threat with beautiful action, invigorating storytelling, and some of the most electrifying sequences in the 2010s. I just gotta say, before we move on anywhere, because there's one more little paragraph that they comment on, but before we go anywhere, how the main event of WrestleMania, what was it, 35, was not Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair? I don't know, dude, but how is that not the first all women's main event in WrestleMania history? Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, even Bayley, dude, like even somebody like Bayley, one of or even all four of them, a fatal four-way, like the same from the NXT TakeOver where they blew the house down and she came out with the championship. Like, I love Ronda Rousey. She's getting better. She's getting better. She's actually putting the effort in. You know what I mean? She's a force to be reckoned with, but she looked out of place in that match from a wrestler's standpoint. You know what I mean? But let's keep it moving because that's just my opinion. All three had distinctive characters going in, which each of them being well-established and well-booked in their first few months on the main roster. Each woman felt genuinely important, and the winner was truly unpredictable, embedding every near fall with substantial weight and tension. Sasha in particular stood out. Her charisma and willingness to put her body on the line connected greatly to each fan in the massive Texas stadium. Beyond the wrestling, the match just had this tangible aura that could be felt by everyone in the arena. This special connection that the audience felt with these women and the company for 20 minutes. The winds of change were here, and in the years since, women in WWE have only made bigger leaps and bounds. This match cannot ever be overlooked in influencing the destiny of women's wrestling in the company. It's true. It's true. All true. And I'll leave that one right there. Number three on the list, Sasha Banks versus Bayley, NXT TakeOver Respect. If I am not mistaken, this is Brooklyn. Is this a Brooklyn match? They're between the ropes. This might just be the best narrative Sasha's ever told. While the next two entries on the list are monumental because of their wrestling and their context, this is a type of contest where if you'd never seen Bayley or Sasha before, you'd know exactly how to feel, who to root for, and get immediately invested in. Their rematch for the NXT Women's title in a 30-minute Iron Man match might not have been quite as good as their masterpiece from Brooklyn, so this wasn't Brooklyn. This was a 30-minute Iron Man match. But the half hour flies by. Their wrestling and chemistry together is simply indescribable. And Banks' heel actions are on another level entirely. I feel like NXT Sasha Banks was a lot harder than main roster Sasha Banks. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she was a lot more like about it. You know what I mean? And now, hey, she's still the GOAT. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like now she's a little more like hesitant to jump. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, she's still the best. Like I said, she's still the best out there. But sometimes I would like to see her a little bit more aggressive. Go back to that aggression, that physicality. And like, you know what I mean? You already looked the part. Just be aggressive and like, you know. But can't wait to see what she's up to after this storyline she's in right now. But Sasha's performance here played perfectly off of the intimacy that Full Sail crowd got from the product, making her egotistical, cruel actions feel genuinely personal to everyone in that building, only to definitively put over their greatest success story. The finish is one of the most thrilling and cathartic moments in NXT history, only to be matched by the emotion of the post-match celebration. It is a modern classic and was the perfect send-off to Banks' perfect run in NXT. You see what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. Perfect run in NXT. Like, I feel like that was I didn't get to see it, but I wish I would have. But I felt like she was really, really in there. And then when she got to the main roster in 16, I guess, I mean, she's been there 6 years, you know? The longer you're there, I mean, the less you're on TV, the less you're actually fighting matches week to week. The one I'm waiting for next, because Sasha's already to that tier, is I'm waiting for Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai, I've been following her since NXT. Not her whole career, but I've been following her. So I'm sure later down the road of this podcast, we will do a Dakota Kai episode, and that'll be cool. That's something to look forward to as well. But let's keep this list moving. We are on to number two. This is Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair, Raw, 25th of July, 2016. Charlotte and Sasha would have worked together a lot, especially in 16, and while there are plenty of candidates for the best match they've had, the one where Sasha picked up her first ever Raw Women's title was something else. It remains one of the most euphoric title victories in the history of Monday Night Raw, as the two women constructed a masterpiece with their incredible physicality and relentless pace. While it could easily be argued that Sasha should have won at WrestleMania 32, it didn't matter by the time she won here. Charlotte was so intensely unlikable as a heel in 16, her most despicable run by far. And Sasha had earned every main roster fan's respect through grueling, committed babyface performances. Sasha was so over on this night, and the match felt different from the ringing of the bell. It was wrestled with monumental impact and passion for every second, with Banks putting everything she had on the line. When she won, the roof blew off the place, and Sasha was celebrated by everyone in the arena. Her win was beautiful, cathartic, and deeply emotional for fans all over the world. It proved her as a worthy top star, a significant babyface, and one of the best in the world at her job. If I'm not mistaken, this is a match where Ric Flair came out and celebrated with her. And number one on the list. We talked about it earlier. We thought it was number three, but it is actually number one. Sasha Banks versus Bayley, NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. So Sasha Banks' best match in her career has come from NXT. Even 5 years later, this was 2020 that we're reading this article from. Even 5 years later, this is unquestionably the best Sasha Banks match to date and a candidate for the greatest match to ever appear on a TakeOver event. The promo package alone cements this as something special, immediately getting fans all over the world emotional at the significance of the match and the feud itself. But then the bell rang. Within a few minutes, it was clear we were being treated to a groundbreaking masterpiece, one of the greatest matches of all time, and the most important WWE match of the decade. It has all the trademarks of a perfect heel Sasha match, her putting her body at significant risk for a big moment, merciless submission work, and heated cruelty towards her opponents, bumping like crazy to establish her opponent's credibility, and crafting a story to make people care in watching her lose. They altered wrestling forever with this match, and Bayley's victory remains one of the most special moments in the history of the industry. Sasha's importance to all of this cannot be understated. Now that Bayley's turned on Sasha, hopefully we're getting close to seeing a version of this match with the dynamics reversed. Again, this was in 2020 when Sasha Banks and Bayley were coming off of the Golden Role Models gig. I didn't know Sasha Banks lost that match. The NXT Brooklyn TakeOver. We just learned that together in live time. But her best match ever was, I'm not surprised, from her NXT run, because since she's been on the main roster, I don't think she's been as used as she could be. She has gotten her opportunities. What did it say? She is tied for the most Raw Women's Championships. But again, she can't hold on to them, so she hasn't really gotten a reign. Like, yeah, she held the company afloat with Bayley as Sasha Two Belts and Bayley Doe Straps. Like, but Becky Lynch has had a stranglehold on that women's division, I'll tell you what. But that's another episode, though. That's the Becky Lynch episode, and that one will come another day, I'm sure. But I want to bring that segment to an end. I want to go into the final segment of this podcast episode, and I want to do promos. I looked up a couple of what I think are some of Sasha Banks' best promos, or even just, you know, when she was doing her thing, and I just want to, you know, put one or two or three out there, you know what I mean, and just play them real quick to end the podcast. And it's like I said, I want this podcast to be an hour long if I could possibly do it. We are at 43 minutes right now. So guys, bear with me. I'm trying to go 15 more minutes. That being said, I do want to take you guys not into an ad break, but I do want to tell you guys about I do want to tell you guys to go check out the dayonevibes.com page, the home of True Records, the home of 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast, the home of everything, the realest underground entertainment, Day One Vibes, Day One Vibes, Day One Vibes. You guys go check that out. But again, to end this episode, I want to run through some promos. So this one right here is from WWE Monday Night Raw. This is November 2nd, taking us all the way back to 2015. This was around the time that she made her main roster debut. And this was some of the hardest Sasha Banks. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip. It is a minute long. Let's see how many of these we can get to before the end of the episode.
Sasha, is there any any anxiety heading into tonight's fatal four-way.
Anxiety? Oh, JoJo, you're so cute. No, no, seriously, what's your question?
That is my question. The WWE Universe has been chanting, "We want Sasha," for weeks now. I would assume that there's a lot of pressure on you to deliver tonight.
Whoa, hold up. Pressure? Excuse you. First of all, I always deliver. As far as we want Sasha, I mean, JoJo, look at me. Of course they want Sasha. I'm the boss around here. So Charlotte better keep one eye open because I'm coming for her and that title.
You see what I'm saying, though? Like, she just had, like, this... She had this attitude about her. Now, like, she's still... Like I said, she's still about it now, but... Man, she was about it back then. Let me bring you guys to a little more modern. That was pink hair Sasha. This is blue hair Sasha. This is Monday Night Raw, also August 26th of 2019. We are going to get straight into the second promo because I want to run for y'all as many as I possibly can. And after we run 2-3 promos, we're going to talk about Sasha Banks' finishing maneuvers, her moves, you know what I mean? And we're going to go ahead and close out this episode. And I got a surprise for you guys at the end of this episode. So stick around if you want to see what the surprise is. So I will talk to you guys right after this promo.
I came back to work, but I had a plan. You see, I had to be a perfect moment. And there she was. Good old Natalia, my poor, innocent, one-armed friend. You see, I came out here 2 weeks ago, gave her a big old hug, and I lied straight to her face, and I said, "Your daddy would be so proud of you." And now here I am, center of attention, like I deserve. Because I am the standard of this woman's division. I've been running this woman's division since day one. Because I am the boss of the woman's division. Because I am the talk of this division. And now I deserve all this glory.
Hey, she does still got it. You know what I mean? She does still got that little attitude about her. So that was August of 2019, so we went 15 to 19, and now we are at August 6th, 2021. This is WWE Friday Night SmackDown, and this is the last promo that I'm going to play. And then after this promo, we will talk about Sasha Banks' finisher. We'll just discuss some of her moves, and then we will close out this episode. After this promo, I will let you guys know what the surprise is, so that way right after this promo I'll let you know the surprise, and then we will get into talking about her moves, and then boom, surprise time. So guys, I appreciate y'all sticking with us. This is the last promo of the episode. I appreciate you guys. I will talk to you guys in 1 minute.
Banks, I came back for my spotlight that I deserve. I am back for my spotlight that I created. And I promise you, I will never let anybody steal my spotlight ever again. For the past couple weeks, I've been watching Bianca make a mistake after mistake, so of course, while Carmella and Zelina were coming out taking liberties of Bianca, I decided to make a statement and rescue our SmackDown Women's Champion. Because let's face it, Bianca would be nothing without me. There would be no ESPY Awards, there would be no Chilling with Megan Thee Stallion, and there would be no main event at WrestleMania. Did you see it? When Bianca started crying before our match because she was standing in the ring across the greatest of all time. me from turning them to a rookie to the reigning champion. But no, Bianca had to diss me. There was no gratitude. There was no thank you coming out of her mouth. Instead, while I was sitting at home, I was thinking about the disrespect that she was showing me week after week. So much so that I came back here for Friday Night SmackDown for one thing and one thing only. To make Bianca pay.
All right, guys, that was the last promo that we were going to play. Sasha Banks, the Sasha Banks episode 3 in D-Signs and Sports Podcast, episode 14, the Sasha Banks episode. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that. We have one more segment to end this show. But before we do that, I told you guys I would let you know what is coming at the end of this episode. And that is a brand new look at a brand new single by yours truly, Designed Individually Gifted. It is a remix to an old track that we all remember, one of the probably hardest beats, like beat samples to ever hit the music industry. But Otis remix by yours truly, Designed Individually Gifted. Stick around for about 10 more minutes. And you guys will get to hear that at the end of this episode. So stick with me. The next thing we're going to talk about. I pulled up this article here from www.smarkoutmoment.com. It is Five Moves of Doom and it is Sasha Banks. So in the Five Moves of Doom, they break down a particular wrestler's moveset and examine the five signature maneuvers that they perform on a regular basis. So, we're going to kind of run through that to end out the show. And then, once we finish here, we will get to Otis. And when I say Otis, I don't mean 4-point Otis. I don't mean a thank you. That's not what I mean. So, don't get it wrong. But guys, we're going to run through this one quick. We're already coming up on an hour, and I do want to get to the song, the exclusive sneak peek of the Otis remix that is going to be on Bad Decisions, Good Intentions, coming July 4th, 2022, by Design Individually Gifted. I want to show you that, so let's run through these five moves of doom, according to www.smarkoutmoment.com. We're just gonna read you the move, we're going to read you the description, we're going to run through the five of them real quick, and we're going to sign out, play Otis, and then talk to you guys on episode 15. Okay, the first one we got here is a corner double knee drop, which is basically the running Meteora. For those of you who know, who play the games and stuff, you know what I mean? That's how I know the names. With an opponent sitting in the corner of the ring with their back to the ring post, Sasha gets a running start. She runs and leaps in the air, slamming both her knees into the head of her opponent. As an added bonus, their head bounces off the ring post and turnbuckle. One of my favorite moves of hers, so rightfully so, it's number one on the list. Number two, diving double knee drop. This variation of the move is used often by Banks with an opponent trapped between the turnbuckles. Sasha steps up on the bottom rope for extra bounce and jumps up, bringing down both knees into the chest and the stomach of the opponent. We all know that move. We've all seen her do that move. She still uses that move. This move, though, I don't know if she still uses it. But I think she used to use it in the sense that she uses the just straight regular backbreaker to go into her crossface, into her bank statement. This is a straight jacket backbreaker into a modified surfboard. This is a very complex move that Banks uses to ready an opponent for the bank statement. Banks gets behind a standing opponent and grabs their arms, crossing them under their chin like a straitjacket. Banks then follows this with a double knee backbreaker, causing damage to the shoulders, neck, and back of the opponent. After the move, Banks proceeds to jerk on the arms of the opponent, further wearing them down for the bank statement. So, I think she does use it still, but I don't think she does a straitjacket anymore. I think she just does the regular backbreaker. Number four is Bankrupt. This was her finisher during her early stages in NXT. Before switching to the bank statement, she still uses this move as one of her main signatures. Bankrupt is a straightjacket neckbreaker slam, similar to the straightjacket backbreaker in the previous move. She uses a straightjacket hold, but instead of standing directly behind her opponent, she spins around so they are back-to-back in a twisting motion. She spins and slams down her opponent to the mat. So, I haven't seen her use that one too often. I know she pulls it out here and there, but it's not really a main staple. So, I'll see what year this was written in or what, but it seems to be, I guess, a little bit behind, at least in contrast to 2022. But it doesn't seem to say here either. That's okay, guys. We can just keep it going. Number five, being the move that everybody knows, her signature finisher move, the bank statement. Sasha Banks has used this move as her go-to finisher, and it is one that is feared by many. It is a cross-face neck crank submission. She wraps both hands around her opponent's neck under their chin and pulls back to apply pressure. Sasha's variation bridges the opponent's back for more pressure and leverage. Sasha Banks often transitions into this submission following a straightjacket backbreaker, a roll-up pin counter, or a tilt-a-whirl head scissors takedown, which she still does till this day on all of them. And I think, honestly, oh man, I was gonna say I don't even know which of those three would be my favorite, but if I had to rank them as which ones would be my favorite, and this is completely, like, you know, because all three of them, I love each one of the ways she pulls off the bank statement, but my favorite would probably be the tilt-a-whirl head scissors takedown. Second would probably be the backbreaker, of course, and then the roll-up pin counter, but all of them as fire as the other one. But like I said, the tilt-a-whirl, when she pulls that one off, it's always super impressive. But www.smarkoutmoment.com. Do you like Sasha's five moves of doom? Which is your favorite? Leave a comment. If you guys go check out the article on the website, you guys go leave a comment. Shout out to www.smarkoutmoment.com. Guys, that brings an end to the Sasha Banks, the monumental Sasha Banks episode 14 of the 3&D Signs and Sports podcast, the Sasha Banks episode. I will keep you waiting for the exclusive look at Otis, the remix, soon to be on the Bad Decisions Good Intentions project, coming out July 4th, 2022, by Design Individually Gifted. Guys, I have nothing left to say. I just ran through what is my all-time favorite podcast that we've done to this point, and probably all-time, episode 14, 3&D Signs and Sports podcast, the Sasha Banks episode. I will keep you waiting no longer. Here is the Otis remix, by Design Individually Gifted.
It makes it easier to bear. You won't regret it, no. Young girls, they don't forget it. Love is their home. Happiness.
Just woke up today, like if I keep on grinding, it might get me paid. 3&D, DOV, true to name. Bring life to my city, I don't do it for fame. I done grew up, and I made a way. Start younger than me, and dog, there's more to gain. It took me 5 years, and look what I did. Stay focused, go get legit, Let me take a sip, practice what I do, cause now it's sink to swim. And I play to win, can't you see the grin? Here's one thing, fuck CNN. Been a minute since I got up on the coast. card like, fuck it, I might entertain him, Jake Paul, this fight night. And I still got my baby, who the baddest, that's my type, Mr. Nice Guy, 5 times. Can't you get like me? Sasha Banks is a boss, Mercedes V. Go talk, play and see. Big time, can't spell it without me. We'll see. Moving with the team, what a dream. Everything keep playing out in HD. You know what I'm talking about, I can't even explain it, but when you know, you know. Still life to live, this mic can give everybody away, so don't you play with the kid, cause I'm gifted. Can't you get like me? Sasha Banks is a boss, Mercedes V. Go talk, play and see. Big time, can't spell that without me.